This is a Faith Defenders audio podcast.
Let's turn once again to the book of Romans. As we have consistently and repeatedly pointed out, the book of Romans has been used of God in every major revival that the Christian church has ever experienced. I believe it is the preaching of the doctrine of justification that electrifies the people of God, because we never appreciate salvation as we ought to until we understand that it is based upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ and his works that are imputed to our account. As long as we think somehow that our acceptance before God is based upon our person, that is our character, and our performance, that is upon our works, no true work of the Spirit can be done. And it's very easy for Christians to fall into this. There are those who think that when the Scripture says that you're to take the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner, they assume that to be worthy means that you've been a very good boy or very good girl, and that you've been really, really righteous, and it's for basically super sanctified saints. And if you've been a wicked sinner that week and yelled at your wife or yelled at your kids or yelled at your husband, and you had some pretty wicked thoughts passing through your mind, well, you shouldn't take communion. But see, that's upside down. Communion is for sinners. That's why the ordinance was left. Jesus said, I did not come for the righteous, but for sinners. And they that are sick are in need of a physician. Thus, the wonderful story of God's grace in this wonderful doctrine of justification becomes the battering ram that breaks through the works mentality that grips the natural heart of man. We saw last week that the Apostle Paul is continuing to answer the objections that Jews made to the gospel. One of the largest objections, which was then, as I pointed out, repeated by an early writer by the name of Trypho the Jew, who wrote against the early church, is simply that salvation comes through obedience to the law of God, and that this idea of salvation by grace through faith is foreign to the law and to the prophets. And the Apostle Paul is answering this kind of objection, and he has pointed out that according to the Scriptures, chapter 4 and verse 1, what then shall we say about Abraham? Abraham was before the law, he was before Moses, and as a matter of fact, he was saved. According to Scripture, he was justified through faith, apart from obedience to the law, because there wasn't any law. It's a little hard to get saved by obedience to the law when God has yet to reveal it. And this is exactly Paul's point. Then he concludes that Abraham was a Gentile before he was circumcised. He existed before the Mosaic economy and the Old Covenant, the law. And his salvation came through his faith. Thus, the Jew, in order to be saved, must be saved the Gentile way. One of the visitors last week has mentioned over the phone how amazed he was that he's read the book of Romans for years and never understood how Paul turned arguments upside down. And in particular, how the Jew felt that he was on the top of the heap looking down at the Gentile, saying, you Gentiles, in order for you to get saved, you have to come on up here with me up on Mount Sinai with Moses and become a Jew. Whereas Paul flipped it, had the Gentile up on Mount Calvary, and said, you Jews need to leave the law and come to grace. You need to leave Moses and come to Christ. So now we want to pick up his argument in Romans chapter 4. We had examined verses 10, 11, and 12. Which showed, verse 12, that Abraham was the father of the faithful, the father of all believers, and those who follow in the steps of the faith of our faith father Abraham, which he had while he was still uncircumcised. And this, of course, is the nitty point of chronology, that Abraham was justified before there was a commandment to be circumcised, before the covenant was established or cut, and this reveals that salvation came through grace apart from the law. Now we pick up with verse 13. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. We must remember that faith is always the basis of even God's covenant, his promise, and his law. In order for you to obey the law of God, you have to believe it to begin with. If you don't believe it, that is, if faith is not the basis of it, you won't even bother to obey it. You won't even listen to it. And here he's saying, listen, there was a promise in the covenant that was given to Abraham and to his descendants or his seed, that through Abraham, blessing and righteousness and salvation would come to the entire world, to Gentile as well as Jew, and that this would come not through the law, which wasn't even established at that time, but through the righteousness of the faith that Abraham had when he believed God. Verse 14, for if those who are of the law are heirs. Now, what you must see is the contrast between law and promise. Law and promise. This will become very significant in the book of Galatians, where the Apostle Paul is going to use the concept of promise as the opposite of that concept of law, and how that the law does not in any way negate the promise of God. The promise was of the coming of a Savior. The promise was of salvation and forgiveness of sin that would go forth to all, irrespective of racial distinction. And this promise could not be nullified by the coming of the law. You will find that discussed particularly in Galatians chapter 4, the distinction between promise and law. And here, the promise to Abraham is not fulfilled through obedience to the Mosaic law, but that promise was through the same means by which Abraham was converted, by which he was saved, which was faith. If those who are of the law are heirs, then faith is made void. Now this is very, very important. If the righteousness which is to come to us as God's gift and God's promise is the result of our obedience to the law, then faith itself becomes empty. Faith itself is made unnecessary, and the promise which the faith has in focus is nullified. Now again, the book of Galatians expands this, and remember that the book of Galatians is simply Paul's commentary on certain aspects of the book of Romans. And in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21, he put it another way, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. So you keep your finger there, you go back to Romans, and here is what he's arguing. Listen, if salvation comes by our obedience to the law, then the following things are true. Number one, this whole talk about faith is made void. Number two, the promise is nullified. Number three, it nullifies the grace of God. And finally, Christ died needlessly. If we can be saved by our own performance, then why in the world did God send forth his Son? We don't need Jesus Christ. We can do perfectly fine without him. This, of course, is the Muslim or the Muslim attitude and why they say Jesus was not the Son of God. He did not die on the cross. So he did not die for our sins. He is not a Savior. And as I've debated the Muslims, they've said, we don't need a Savior. That's how they put it. We don't need one. Through our obedience to Allah, through the prayers, through the pilgrimages, through the giving of alms, we save ourselves. Now, they're very proud of that, and of course, that's the whole point. They are very proud of that. And we saw that in Romans chapter 4, that the Apostle Paul said that Abraham could not boast before God on the basis of his good works, verse 2, but that salvation comes to those who believe in him, verse 5, who justifies the ungodly. Here the Apostle Paul simply states that those who think they're going to be saved through the law and they will become the heirs of the blessings of Abraham, they're in for a great disappointment. It simply will not happen. For they miss the purpose of the law. Look very carefully at verse 15. For the law brings about what? Wrath. The law brings about wrath. Now, the commentaries are divided as to whose wrath we're talking about. There are those who say, well, we're talking about the fact that the law provokes man into doing that which is evil because you tell them no. Now, all of us who are parents, we have discovered this propensity of human nature. Perhaps your child never attempted to do this or that bad thing until you explained it to them and told them they're not to do it. This is why I think sex education in the public school system, it isn't exactly going to work. As a matter of fact, there have been more unwanted pregnancies than ever before. Telling kids to do something, lining them up and giving them little packets that would enable them to do it, and then telling them not to do it certainly has defeated the very purpose, and now you have more unwanted pregnancies than ever before. You tell your child no, and that child becomes determined to do it. No electrical wires, or they go for those electrical outlets. Some of you young people, you'll find out. You just don't know how kids survive. You tell them not to hang upside down, they'll be hanging upside down. And it's that propensity of human nature that when you tell someone they can't do something, they want to do it. So he's saying here, according to some commentary, the law brings about the wrath of man. People get angry. Who is God that he thinks he can tell me I can't run around and cheat on my wife? Who does he think he is telling me I can't steal? I'm a car salesman, insurance salesman, and I'm in sales. And I got to steal I can get. Well, no, you see, that whole anger of man. And, of course, this is a truth of Scripture that elsewhere is dealt with, as we shall see in the book of Romans, that the law provokes man to anger, to wrath, because we hate it when anyone, including God, tells us what we can or cannot do. It's part of fallen human nature, not human natures created by God, but fallen, depraved human nature. But then there are those commentators who say, no, 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 it's not talking about the wrath of man, it's talking about the wrath of God. Because in the context, it's talking about how that the promise and the law are each viewed as means from which you get a blessing from God. Remember the blessing of our father Abraham, righteousness, justification. So the context is that either through the law or through the promise, either through obedience or through faith, we are to receive from God the blessing. Thus, in this context, it means the wrath of God. So the law, instead of bringing about blessing from God, is instead going to bring wrath from God. That is the only thing that the law ever provides in terms of our relationship with God, is sin and judgment. Now, this is exactly, I think, what the Apostle Paul is saying in chapter 5, if you please turn there, verse 10. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. In the context, verse 10, while we were enemies, it is clear this is referring to the fact that God viewed us as His enemies. Now, if you look at verse 9, it says, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Now, notice that the words of God are put in italics. And why are they put in italics? Because they're not in the Greek. Well, here he's saying, through justification, we are delivered from wrath. Well, whose wrath? God's wrath. Thus, most translations say, well, it's so clear from the context, might as well put it in. Well, that's the same thing going back to chapter 4, that the wrath that is being spoken of in verse 15 is the wrath of God. That is, you give people the laws as you did the Jews, and Moses came down with the tablets of stone. A, it's true, the people were not happy. They didn't want them. B, they rebelled against them. That's true. But the real problem is that the wrath of God then broke upon the nation. You remember what happened to those who were busily worshiping the golden calf, and the earth splitting open, and Korah, Dathan, and all those things that happened. The wrath of God is the only thing you'll ever get out of the law. And I think this is exactly how Paul is arguing to the Jews. He said, you think you're going to get a blessing from God by you standing by the law? I'm reminded of that man who heard Spurgeon preach in London. And Spurgeon was preaching on law versus grace. Justification by grace, not through the law. And it was mercy and grace. And this very aristocratic, wealthy Englishman came to the door very upset, because he felt he had been insulted. His dignity had been impugned. He said, "Sir, I will take justice before God." Assuming in his own heart, hey, I'll do okay. It's like when John Wayne was dying of cancer, he had an interview, and the woman who was interviewing, this was on television, I saw it myself, and said, well, do you believe in God? He said, of course I do. The old man upstairs, of course they didn't impress me too much, but he said, the old man and upstairs and I, we've walked many years. And he said, well, what do you think's going to happen to you when you die? He said, well, I think I've lived a good life. And I think the man upstairs will take into account the good things that I've done, and I'll be okay. In other words, he was saying, I'll roll the dice, and I'll go before the judge of the law. And that judge will probably let me off. Well, my dear friends, the law will never let you off. He is the hanging judge of the universe. He's never let a single criminal off anything. He exacts full punishment to the full extent of the law. He knows no mercy. There's no mercy in law, none whatsoever. And this is why the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, don't you understand that the only thing you'll get out of the law is thunder and lightning like you had on Mount Sinai? It's judgment and condemnation. That the purpose of the law is not salvation, none whatsoever. This is why he will point out in chapter 7 that it was through the law that he finally understood that he was a sinner. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is